Stupidity has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gatz, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gatz providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gatz's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
It is Stupidity. It's all downhill from here. The best thing we do, Stanzik, every single episode of this ridiculous podcast is the open. You're supposed to crescendo to the best part of the podcast. We start with the best part of the podcast, and it's all downhill from here. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard, Stanzik.
Why don't we just play it in the middle?
Would you mind doing that? But it fills time, and I think you should play it. Every time there's a little bit of a lull, and I'm not very good, or Abby's not very good, although she's the star, and we'll get to her in just a second, I think you just fire that off, okay?
Yeah, I mean, we're supposed to have a break in the middle, and I'm not sure if our sales team has sold this podcast, even though it reaches number one every time we post a new one. I don't know if there actually is a break, but if there is, I can just play that out of a break.
Okay, listen, either a break, a lull in the action, we're not good. Whenever we're not good, just fire that off, because the second we fire it off, we instantly become good and credible because Greeny's voice is on that thing, and it's outstanding. And by the way, if I die first, Stanzik, how old are you?
I turn 33 in a few weeks.
Oh, geez, I'm 44. So if I die first, which in all likelihood I'm going to die first, knock on wood, I want you to play that at my funeral, okay?
Done.
Thank you. What episode is this, by the way?
Really?
Stanzik, this has changed my life in a way. It's been great. It's been exhilarating. I love building stuff. It's been fun to do with my wife. But it has wrecked my life because I am, listen, you know me by now. I am a completely, completely scatterbrained to begin with. This has thrown me for a loop. I mean, listen, normally Mondays and Tuesdays afternoon, I'm playing golf and I'm sitting here talking to you every Monday and Tuesday, and it's killing me, Stanzik.
It's episode 4.
By the way, download, rate, subscribe, then unsubscribe, resubscribe, and rate and review. Anyway, so a funny thing has happened here with this podcast, Stanzik, but I think you and I expected this from day one, where Abby has become the star of the podcast. Everyone wants to talk to Abby. I mean, it's amazing. And so what happened here, and you'll laugh at this, and then go get Abby to have her comment on it. Some random joggers were jogging by the house on Wednesday morning. Two women jogging around in the community. I have never seen them. Abby has never seen them nor met them. I have no idea who they were. But Abby was out in the driveway, and they stopped. They stopped in the middle, in mid-jog. You're a jogger, right? Like, it's tough. Like, you don't want to stop mid-jog. Like, I always say, hey, when I start to exercise, if I'm walking, jogging, whatever it is I'm doing, and I don't do it often, but when I do it, like, once I start, I can't stop. If I see you on the road and you try to stop me, get the f*** out of here. Like, once I start, this cannot stop. These people stop mid-jog to talk to Abby. You would never do that, would you?
I once got bit by a dog when I was jogging and I didn't stop.
So these people are jogging by our house. Abby is just minding her own business. And these two women stop and they say, hey, are you Abby? And she's like, yeah. And they're like, love the podcast. Congratulations. You're the star of the show. How about that?
That's not real.
Stanzik. Dead serious. And it's happened a couple of times now. Like out at restaurants, it's happened a couple of times that we launched this thing. Here's the thing with Abby though. I'm telling you, Stanzik, unlike her husband, she wants nothing to do with being a celebrity. She doesn't want to be bothered. She doesn't want to, you know, sit at a grocery store and small talk people. She just wants to move about her day, without any interaction whatsoever, especially with me. But now she has people clamoring to talk to her. So.
I guess my question is, how did they recognize her? Because I talk to Abby every week now. I still don't know what she looks like. Do you have something in your house that has like giant letters of Stu Gatz that people knew that that was your house?
Yes, I do. In fact, I do right across the front of the house where it just says, yes, all capital letters, gold, by the way, 14 carat. And it just says Stu Gatz's house.
And your license plate is Wiener?
You know, it's funny you ask, because years ago, my license plate was Sanchez, and then I changed it to Greed, and then I just changed it to dollar signs. But now I'm so excited about my friendship with Adam Gase, and so excited he keeps telling me how good Sam Darnold is. So now it just simply reads Darnold. Stanzik, rather than you and I talk about what's going on with Abby, just get her. Just go find her.
It's my job to get your wife?
She doesn't respond to me, dude. You have a better chance of getting her than I do. And you don't want to be doing this in the first place. Just get her.
Stupidity.
So, Abby, before, you know, Stanzik found you, you don't respond to me, you respond to him. He is upset over the fact that he has to track you down now, rather than me tracking you down. But I told him, like, Abby, am I wrong here? I told him there's no way. Like, you're going to respond to him quicker than you respond to me.
Obviously.
Again, number one sports and rec, Stugat's Army. We appreciate it. Abby's Army. If you come stronger, perhaps you'll get us ahead of Oprah, because eventually, listen, wifey going to have to get paid. So, at Zappos.com, I mean, step up. Sales staff actually step up. It's a little bit annoying. Abby, you can say it. Go ahead, say it. I mean, you're annoyed, right? Number one for three consecutive weeks, and there is no advertising.
What am I getting? Yeah. What am I getting out of this?
Yes, go ahead. Take the sales staff out, because it's like, Stanzik, does she have every right now, as someone who's not getting paid to do this, as someone who's the star of the show, to blast the sales staff for not selling this damn podcast already?
She does, and I'll tell you what, that last comment by her, it took a few weeks, but now I understand that you guys are way more similar than I thought.
Listen, I am Abby, when you are trying to get sponsors on here, you are hot. So help us out with this story. There were two women jogging past our house. Stanzik wondered how they recognized it was our house and that it was you. I told them that we have 14 karat gold big letters right across the house that says Stugatz's house. I'm imagining that's how they knew it was you. But paint the picture for us. You were minding your own business in the driveway on Wednesday morning, and two women jogged by, and what happened?
Well, first of all, I'm pretty sure they just know where you live. It's not a very big block. I mean, it's a circle. We live in the back, and it's sort of a big circle, so I'm sure they know which house is ours because of
plus
you,
gold,
of course.
Plus the 14 pair of gold letters, right? Plus those.
Yes, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I was getting out of the car, and someone said, "Congratulations on your podcast." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "I didn't realize they were talking to me." I'm like, "Oh, thanks for listening. It's stupid." Hence the name. So I guess I'm famous now, which is the last thing I want to be. So
yeah, I told you.
Show me the shoes or the money or something.
What a heel turn.
Zappos.com. Stupidity. Abby, it is funny, though. I do want to tell you, because it made me think about a story that happened on our honeymoon. Stanzik, I was making the point, like, it takes a lot. When I start exercising, Abby, when I get going, if I see you in the street and you try to stop me, I ain't stopping. If you want to have a conversation with me while I'm jogging or walking, you're going to have to jog with me or walk with me, because once this thing gets going, it can't stop until it's over, until whatever I'm doing is over, 45, 50 minutes in. So we were marveling at the fact, because people were jogging, they stopped to speak with you. They stopped. Now, Stanzik, you don't know this about him, Abby. Stanzik runs marathons. Did you know that?
Very impressed.
So am I. And he was telling me that he once was jogging and got, Stanzik, was it bitten by a dog?
That's correct.
He was bitten by a dog, Abby, and did not stop jogging.
Wow. Now, that is impressive. I mean, maybe he was in so much pain he was jogging to the nearest hospital, but wow.
Is that what you were doing, Stanzik?
Yeah, the adrenaline just kind of kicked in. I honestly didn't think it was that bad of a bite, and then I just kept running. I yelled F off to the dog's owner and just kept going, got back to my apartment, and there were holes in my shirt and blood everywhere. So I had to go to the emergency room, and a few hospital bills later, we're okay.
Well, at least you got your jogging. But Abby, it reminded me of the story. The dog part reminded me of the story on our she's already laughing, Stanzik. It reminds me of the story. I don't know, just because you mentioned the dog, and actually the stories are not similar at all. We had a convertible. I think it was a Pontiac Sunbird. Is that right, Ab?
I think it was a Mustang, but close enough. Okay.
And so we originally were going to go to Italy for our honeymoon, but we bailed on that because 9/11 unfortunately happened, and Abby was a bit afraid to leave the country, and I didn't blame her. So we switched up everything, and we ended up going to Napa Valley and then down the coast of California. We ended somewhere close to San Diego. It was a beautiful trip. It was a great trip. But Stanzik, we're in this Mustang convertible, very low to the ground, and we're driving around the wine country. And Abby and I have no idea where we're going, and perhaps one of us is a little bit tipsy because we're tasting wine all day. We pull into some, Abby, do you remember that back road? It was out of a horror film, right?
Definitely.
So we pull into the, Right. We didn't know where.
Then we saw the dogs.
We pulled into some random driveway, man. Either I was going to go knock on the door and ask someone, where are we and how do we get out of here? Or I was just going to turn around. I pull into the driveway and two Cujo-like dogs come flying out of the front door, Stanzik. I mean, racing after me, Abby, in the car, and I didn't know what to do because the top is down.
Okay, but we were afraid of two dogs, and we were in a car, and they were on foot. Like, they're not, like, it's ridiculous. Like, we were scared. We, like, reversed, like, 100 miles an hour and literally left the driveway in, like, 5 seconds, afraid that the dogs would attack us while we were in a car.
Stanzik, so I was so scared. I was terrified, and Abby was, too. So I put it in reverse. Imagine the Dukes of Hazzard. You ever see that show, Stanzik?
I'm 33, not 63.
So I am, Stanzik, these dogs are fast, okay? These poodles, fast. And I am telling you, and they're big and they're menacing. I am driving in reverse on a dirt road, making Dukes of Hazzard type, you know, dirt marks and tire marks and leaving all kinds of dirt in my wake and all kinds of dust in my wake. I was driving in reverse. I'm telling you, no slower. Abby, am I wrong? No slower than 110 miles per hour. In reverse, Stanzik, down roads.
And they weren't poodles. They were pit bulls.
Fireball.
Stupidity! All right, so anyway, this got us thinking, Abby, because you're so popular, everyone wants to talk to you. People are breaking off their workouts to talk to you in the driveway. We figured it's time to give the audience, who has been very good to me, very good to you, very good to Stanzik, very good to this entire podcast. They have made me, Abby. This Stugatz Army has made me, but they are tired of talking to me, and we figured you are the star. So we want to launch a brand new segment here on episode, is it 4, Stanzik?
Really?
Episode 4 of Stupidity. Abby, how do you feel about this? We're going to open up the phone lines and let people talk to you. We're going to call the segment very clever. Stanzik and I were up all night trying to figure out a name for it. We're going to call it Ask Abby.
I feel very honored.
All right, listen, just unleash on me, okay? I don't care. There are no rules, parameters. Just, I want you to say whatever it is you're feeling based on what the question is, okay?
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to be hurt. I just want you to give your honest
answer. I'm not worried.
Right?
I'm not worried.
Okay, good. She's not worried. All right, let's go out to Chase. Chase, go!
So, I've been with my girlfriend for a long time now, and I'm starting to, you know, kind of consider getting engaged. So, clearly, Stugatz is my role model for life. So, I was wondering if you had any cool stories about, you know, either planning your wedding or maybe from your reception, so I kind of have a model to go off of for my own.
Well, since Stugatz didn't take part in any of the planning and just basically walked down the aisle, showed up at the parties, and it worked out pretty well for him, I would say maybe you should just ditto that and
Here's what I did. The reason I did that, Abby, it's because I paid for it, right? So you had to take care of everything else. And here's the advice I would give you. Big rock, okay? Big rock. Big right. rock. And right. then let her take care of everything else, all right?
Yeah, okay. I don't think so. But it's nice when the soon-to-be husband plays a little bit of a part of planning. But if he's your role model, then just do what he did and stay out of it.
Here's the thing. I changed my major. I'm going to law school now. And it's honestly because of the show. She found that shoe website you guys are always talking about because I had the show on
Zappos.
The car.
Yeah, Zappos.com. I would do everything in your power to get her to delete that thing and get it the hell out of her life because every penny you make is going to be spent there. Okay. I love Zappos.com, and I wouldn't be saying that if they sponsored the damn podcast already, but they haven't done that yet. So until then, I'm just going to criticize them. Get Zappos out of your life, okay?
No. Zappos is what keeps you going and keeps the marriage working. As long as she can keep ordering Zappos, you guys will be together for a very long time.
Damn. You are sexy when you're trying to get someone to sponsor our show. Jesus Christ. Let's go to Joe in Texas. Joe, go ahead. You're on Ask Abby. Go, Joe.
Stugatz is always saying that everybody has a little Stugatz in them, and I feel like I have a little Stugatz in me. Now, I've been married 13 years, and I'm a big sports guy, so I'm sure, you know, you get to hear all the Stugatz hot takes at the house all the time, and my wife sometimes hears them, and she seems like she's interested, but I really don't know if she's not. Does his hot takes at the house ever get annoying to you, and you just tune them out and let them go, or are you really interested in what he has to say?
Okay, first let's start off with everyone has a little Stugatz in them. I mean, I would hope not because, you know, not a lot of wives are as tolerant as I am, so I don't know if everyone has a little Stugatz in them. But if they do, then they would probably tune them out, because that's what I pretty much do. I don't even know what hot takes are. I don't even listen to the show. I don't think I've ever listened to the show. So, yeah, as long as she plays along and you believe her and just pretend that she enjoys it or whatever it is that you want to believe, then you'll be fine.
You started tuning me out years ago, be honest. Like, you tuned me out on everything, not just hot takes a year ago, right? Like, years ago, like a decade.
No, that's not true.
No? No. You sure? No? Because I noticed you do that. Like, I'll talk sports, and I'll talk about the Jets, I'll bitch and complain, and I notice you're just shaking your head because you're playing along, but you're not listening to a f***ing word I'm saying. You know that's true.
No, well, because you keep repeating the same thing. I heard it the first time. You know, they keep you know.
Well, I mean, maybe if they win once in a while, I'd stop repeating what it is I'm saying, which is fire bulls. They finally did it, though, by the way. How about that? Let's go out to Mo. Mo, go ahead. You're on Stupidity. Ask Abby. Go ahead.
I know Stu has a lot of despicable characteristics, but has there ever been a time where Stu surprised you, Abby, doing something nice, maybe as far as, say, thoughtful?
Let's go to Carlos in Miami. Carlos, go ahead. Stupidity. Ask Abby. Go.
I know Stu has mentioned that when he showers, he doesn't wash his feet. He just lets the soap just run down to his legs, and it just washes the feet automatically. Just wondering if that is true, especially on Sundays.
That is definitely true. If you saw the bottom of his feet, then you would, you know, you wouldn't have to ask the question. So, yes,
Stanza,
that is
do you
definitely
wash your
true.
Feet? I mean, do you, like to me, the shower and the soap in the shower is kind of like a lazy river. Like, you just throw the soap on you, and you let the soap go where it goes, you know? And it ends up at the feet.
I mean, when you have back problems like he does, I don't even think he can reach his feet, so... I guess that's his only option.
Do you wash your feet in the shower, Stanton?
No, I mean, honestly, I don't compare everything in my life to a lazy river like you do, but I'm team gravity on that one.
Let's go out to Billy in South Florida. Billy, ask Abby.
Hey, Abby, what would you do if you've been on all four episodes of the podcast and still haven't been paid?
Great question, Billy. That bald guy in sales better get his bleep together.
Yeah, that's the way I like you. Oh, man, are you sexy? Plus, the bald guy hasn't been with us forever. Micah, go ahead. West Virginia, go ahead. Ask Abby.
Speaking of everybody having a little bit of Stugatz in them, Abby, if you could pick one personality trait that Stugatz has that if everyone in the world shared would make the world a better place, what would it be?
And what is this with everyone having little Stugatz in them? I don't really
Everyone, Abby,
that,
everyone's
but...
got a little bit of Stugatz in them, okay? I'm selfish. It's all about me. You know, I might tell a lie or two here and there, stretch the truth a little bit. And what I've always maintained is even Levitard, even people of the highest degree, people who have just impeccable morals, okay? Even they have a little, even the Pope has a little bit of Stugatz in them. You know, the Pope has told a lie here and there. You know what I'm saying?
I guess, like, determination.
I was going to say greed.
Yeah. Let's go to...
yeah, that's good.
Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, Abby, first time, long time. My wife and I are expecting our first child at the end of May. How can I still get to watch Cleveland Indians, Cleveland Browns, Columbus Blue Jackets hockey without upsetting her? Keeping in mind, she makes more than I do and works longer hours.
Wow. Quite the predicament,
right?
I would say from the beginning, just start watching it, and she would probably just get used to it. That's what I did. You just have no choice. She will have no choice other than to have
well,
the
no,
TV
Abby,
on.
Well, no, Abby, but hold on a second.
Whatever.
In fairness to me, I did on the front end. I told you, and we kind of had the discussion last week. It's why you live with each other before you get married. I told you exactly what I am, who I am, and that I'm not going to change. And you said, okay, I'm accepting of that. And what I also will tell this person.
I don't know if you told me. You just did what you wanted to do. And it was just, you didn't tell me. You didn't ask me. You just did it.
Yeah, I just did what I want to do, and I continue to do what right. I want to do. But what I would tell that guy is, listen, if you want to watch the stuff at night, you got to take care of the kids during the day. So when your wife gets home from work and she's making more money and she's got all the responsibility, that she has to just be able to come home, eat dinner, make a nice dinner for her, and then it's her turn with the kids, putting them to sleep. And then if he does that all day, Abby, right? If he does that on the front end work, then on the back end, he should be able to watch whatever the hell he wants at night, correct?
Correct. Definitely agree. But that doesn't seem like that would be the case. That's why he's asking, because if he did do all that, he would say, too bad I'm watching this, but I don't know the situation. But yes, I agree.
Are you saying he's got no balls, Kevin? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that.
Okay, Kevin, you are ballless. Let's go to Justin in Illinois. Go ahead.
Abby, what is the single most important thing that the Jets are going to have to do to beat the Patriots?
Oh, good question. Good question, Abby. Good
Get
question.
Rid of Tom Brady. The Patriots will have to do that. I don't know what the Jets can do, but...
Yeah, unfortunately, you and I will still be doing stupidity 10 years from now, and people will still be asking that same question. God, I hate the Patriots. I hate the Jets even more. Let's go out to Mina in Los Angeles. Mina, go ahead. Ask Abby.
Hey, Abby, why do you think Stu is so misunderstood? I think he's a genius.
Mina, you're on this podcast more than I am. And by the way, how can someone that went to Harvard be that dumb? You can have him.
She went to Yale. Stupidity. All right, let's go to Adam in Phoenix. Adam, go ahead. Stupidity. Ask Abby.
Does Stu smell his own farts, like, frequently?
I would assume he does.
I do. Travis, North Dakota, go ahead. Stupidity.
I want to know what happened between you and Abby after you texted her walk to a gas station that time. She ran out of gas because you didn't fill up her vehicle with gas.
Yeah, I was expecting divorce papers when I got home that day. Abby, do you remember that? I took your car out. You told me to get gas.
I remember
gas.
Clearly.
Yeah, so what happened
the
when you got that
text? The
end of
the story is that my sister came to rescue me.
Okay, so you didn't walk to the gas station.
No, I didn't walk to the gas station.
Okay, so your sister picked you up, took you to the gas station, and you got gas
and
went back.
No, my sister came with a gas. So she filled up a little whatever it was and filled the car up with some gas.
You probably should have went with the divorce payment. Yeah.
Way before that. I will tell you, way before that. All right, let's go out to Nate in Georgia. Nate, go ahead.
Abby, what is the worst lie that Stu Gotts ever told?
I do.
Whoa. I mean, that was uncalled for, Abby.
Well, you said I do, and you haven't done since.
All right, let's go to Mike in New York. Mike, go ahead. Ask Abby.
Abby, what is Stu Gotts' biggest fear?
Frogs.
Sansa, she's right. It's frogs. And I will tell you a quick story. One morning, she is in the shower, and this is the house we lived in years ago, okay? So not the same house we're in now. And the sun was shining perfectly right down. We had these pull-down. Abby, how would you describe them? Were they just pull-down blinds? Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what they were.
All right, and feel free, Abby, if you want to tell sales to get you some new blinds.
Budget blinds, blind factory, anything.
Listen, you are, when you're trying to get my money, not so hot. When you're trying to get money from sales, smoking. Anyway, so I see this big blob, right? Like the sun is shining perfectly. Abby's in the shower. I see this big blob, like right behind, because the sun is shining perfectly on it, right behind this pull-down curtain, budget blinds, let's go. And I see it there. It's just sitting there. So I pull up the curtain. And Stanzik, what is there, like a suction cup against my window, on the inside of the house is not a tiny frog, a bullfrog. So what did I do? I did what any man of the house would do, any tough guy would do. I called 911.
Come on.
I called the cops.
You did.
They said, sir, what's your emergency? You said there's a frog in my house?
Yeah, I said, they said, what's the emergency? I said, there was a bullfrog stuck to my window. And they said, you realize you called 911? And I said, yeah, who am I supposed to call? And she said, someone who takes care of getting frogs out of your house. Goodbye.
Wow. Didn't know snakes were afraid of frogs.
Stanzik, you... Abby, I forget how this story ended. How'd the story end?
Of course you forgot how the story ended, because you had nothing to do with it. I picked it up with my bare hands.
What do you mean? I threw it out the door?
Yep.
All right, let's go out to Jim in Pennsylvania. Jim, go ahead. You're on Stupidity. Ask Abby.
What story did Stu Gotts have to tell you to get you to go out with him the first time?
Good question. It wasn't really anything he said to get me to go out with him. It was just hearing that he liked me from a foreign temple, I guess, that got me.
And the fact that I look like George Clooney, right?
That's what they had said, yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Let's go to Dan at the Clevelander Hotel in Miami. Dan, go ahead. Ask Abby.
Stu Gotts, you got to be shitting me. It's not bad enough. You're taking calls lazily. Now your wife is taking calls. What kind of bullshit is this?
I don't know who that guy was, but he sounded fat.
If you want to see and hear more from the guy that sounds fat, The Art of Conversation, his first guest is going to be Pat Riley, Sunday, ESPN, 5:30. Stupidity.
Stupidity.
So Ben Lyons is our guest this week. I love Ben. I love his work. He is synonymous with movies. His name, his last name, the family name is synonymous with movies. Academy Awards are coming up this week. He is the host of The Lion's Den on Podcast One. I am changing the name of this podcast to The Lying Den, L-Y-I-N-G. Stanza, get on that, please. Let's start in the natural place with Ben Lyons of movies. Abby, you're into the award shows. You love the award shows, don't you?
Yes, love them. The red carpet part of it is my favorite, but love the awards.
Right. You like just seeing famous people. So, Ben, I'm wondering, because Dan and I have had this conversation on the air. I used to love the award show. Like, for me, it was must-watch television, and not so much anymore. I don't know if that's a product of age. I don't know if that's a product of having kids. I don't know if it's a product of, you know, maybe Netflix and that kind of factoring in, and the movie business has just changed. But it seems like award shows, which were once appointment viewing, no longer are. Do you have a theory on that?
It's simple, Stu Gotson, Abby. It just used to be that they were your only access point to these stars that you love watching on screen. It was the only time you got to see them interact with each other, walk a red carpet, talk in real life. Now, every day, Hugh Jackman's in the gym on Instagram. Wahlberg's up at 4 a.m. working out with Octavia Spencer, selling you protein on his Instagram. So it's like, no longer is that the only place where you can get access to your favorite stars. And then also, when we were growing up and back in the day, it was like maybe you watched the Globes and then everyone watched the Oscars, and that was kind of it. Now, having been out here in L.A. for a long time and worked in the industry, you see that the SAG Awards, the Critics' Choice Awards, the Spirit Awards, the BAFTAs, the PGAs, the DGAs, the WGAs, they all get covered now. And all get, you know, documented. So the Oscars, by the time you've seen Forrest Whitaker give an acceptance speech for playing Idi Amin, it's the 25th time you've seen it now. So it loses some of its kind of luster. But that said, the Oscar, I still think, is the only one of all of these awards that can truly change somebody's life, whether it's a writer, whether it's a musician, whether it's an actor or director. To be a part of that, to be nominated, to be a part of that community changes the art you're allowed to make for the rest of your life. So there's still benefits to it. But that said, you know, it's lost some of its luster because you can see these people every day on your phone when you're sitting on the toilet.
Right. But you love movies. Does that make you sad? Like, you love movies. The Lion's name is synonymous with movies. Does that make you sad?
No, I love it, man. People this week across the world are talking about a Spanish language film about a Mexican woman who's trying to better her life on Netflix. Alfonso Cuarón is a name that people know now in around the world because of the Oscars. And I just think that's really cool that it can sit alongside Black Panther, which is a world event that, you know, changed culture and inspired so many people. And that can sit alongside a social satire like Vice from Adam McKay, who's an artist who can do Step Brothers and do political commentary. Like, I just love that we're in a week now where just people celebrate art and film and performance, and I think that's really special.
Stantic, tell our Lions what you just told me.
Ben probably knows my opinion on Roma, which he referenced without saying the title. I said that movie's trash. It's a black and white subtitled movie with full frontal male nudity. Hard pass.
Is it the most enjoyable of 2.5 hours?
No.
No, but a lot of fine art is not meant to be enjoyable in the traditional, simple, Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw spinoff, which, by the way, super fired up for other reasons. We can get to that, too. But a movie like this, Danzig, it's an art piece. It's something you're going to study in school. It's about cinema, and it's about, you know, storytelling and shining a light on people whose stories are not often told. And I think that movie, while incredible and worthy of all the accolades, I agree with you. A difficult 2.5 hours alongside films like, hey, Stu Gotts, what are you and Abby doing this weekend? You guys want to come over and watch There Will Be Blood? Like, nobody says things like that because that's an insane thing to do. But that movie and that performance is still so important. So I don't know. I disagree, Stanzik. I think you're better than that.
By the way, those conversations do happen in my house. Like, hey, everyone come over. We're watching Cobra tonight, you know?
Cobra? An early Stallone cut, Cobra, huh?
Yes.
I like the Stallone movie with Donald Sutherland, Lockup, where Sutherland's the warden.
Oh, it's so good. Ben Lyons with us here on Stupidity. I yearn for the days I feel like Greg Cody back in my day. Abby, correct me if I'm wrong. Do you like binge watching? Because I miss the mystique of watching one episode per week at a time, and then you have that 6-day buildup to the next episode. Abby, do you enjoy the binge watching, or do you miss like the old school way they used to present TV?
No, I like the binge watching. What I don't like is I don't mind the every week looking forward to the show, but I don't like when they take a break for like 6 months. I don't remember what happened the last episode, what the show was called.
Ben, what do you think about all that with Netflix coming into the picture here? Just the fact that, yeah, you can watch what you want when you want it. You like that? You don't like that? You seem old school with movies and television.
Abby, you're so right. The week to week is fine, but the 6 months, 9 months, I mean, it's almost like this time of year with baseball, Stugatz. It's like, how am I supposed to remember which character exactly. is which on Game of Thrones? They're all white guys with beards. It's like the Pittsburgh Pirates. How am I supposed to remember who's in their bullpen? I don't know. It's some white guys from beards. I haven't seen them in 6 months. And I miss Stugatz, the everybody watched 90210 together, and then the next morning at school, you all talked about Kelly Taylor and a fire. Like, now everybody's on different schedules. So somebody will come up to you and be like, yo, can you believe that Jordan Catalano, Jared Leto, made out with Claire Danes finally on my so-called Life last night? You're like, wait a minute, I haven't watched that. I'm waiting till I have the weekend to watch six in a row. Back in the day, shout out to Greg Cody, you used to be able to all be on the same schedule to all talk about the show.
Right, the minute you ask someone, do you watch Ozark? Oh, don't tell me what happened. I haven't gotten that far. Whatever it is, you can't even discuss it because you don't want to ruin it for the other person.
Yeah, because right. Ben, you know what? The spoiler alert is out the window. I'm just going to let it fly and talk about it. And if it pisses people off, it pisses people off. That's what Netflix has done. It's ruined TV. Ben Lyons with us here on Stupidity, host of the Lyons Den podcast on Podcast One. So what is the best movie you've seen this year, Ben? What should win Best Picture this weekend, Academy Awards?
I mean, my favorite film of 2018 was Vice. I thought Adam McKay did such an incredible job of creating something so unique, not a traditional cradle-to-grave biopic by any means. The performances across the board, from Carell as Rumsfeld to in a glorified cameo that got him an Oscar nom, Sam Rockwell. And what Bale does with saying so little and just losing himself physically in the role really paints a portrait, and it's definitely a biased portrait. He came out of the Globe, Stugatz, and said, I want to thank Satan for inspiring this performance. So clearly Bale has his own view on the man that he portrayed in the movie. But I just thought that was the best movie of the year. That was my favorite, timely and inventive and creative. It's not going to win. Didn't do well at the box office. It didn't really seem to grab a hold of the culture the way that Roma did, but not having to participate in that part of the conversation.
Stanzik, what are you going to do if Roma wins?
It would crush me, honestly. Like, that's the one thing I'm, like, rooting against so hard on Sunday night. Although my favorite movie of the year didn't even get nominated, and Ben can probably speak more to it, but First Man got basically shut out by the Oscars, and I thought it was the best film by far.
Again, falling victim to that box office thing. Wasn't the commercial success
right.
People thought it was. Had all the elements on paper, Chazelle coming off La La Land, True Story, The Goss, and it just didn't resonate with audiences, and I think that's why you don't see it nominated a lot this weekend.
Hang on, did you just go The Goss for Gosling? Yeah. Is that a thing, Stu?
Yeah, it is. Goss. Yeah, Gossy. Gossy, The Goss, Goss, Gossy, whatever you feel like calling it. I mean, his friends call him Goss, so I'm assuming Ben's is a friend.
Yeah, he's got a great Moroccan restaurant over on Robertson called Tajin.
I mean, Abby, if you have any celebrities you want a good story from Ben Lyons, he may have them, he may not have them, but just throw a name out there. Go ahead. While we're on Goss, give me a good Goss story if you have one.
I don't know. I mean, he one time was my busboy at my table at his Moroccan restaurant. It wasn't an event. It was just a regular Tuesday night. I lived in the corner and went with a girl I was dating at the time, and the Goss was just like our busboy. This is like around Blue Valentine time, like Lars and the Real Girl time.
What do you mean? How do you know it was Goss? Like, how'd you piece that together years later? You didn't know at the time.
What do you mean? I was like, oh, hey, Ryan, I interviewed you last week in Toronto. What do you mean? He was the height of his career. He was like an indie darling at that time before he really, like, cashed out on Crazy Stupid Love and, you know, the big studio movies he's done since. But this was like, he was doing all these indies, been nominated for Half Nelson, and just like, a lot of these artists do that out here. One time I was at a grocery store out in, like, a Gelson's out near Zuma, and just like ran into Shia LaBeouf, who was buying canned goods. He was going camping by himself in the woods. He just wanted to feel alive. Like, a lot of these artists, because they live such a sheltered life in hotels, doing press, red carpets, you want to go out there and feel the world. So now if Goss plays a busboy in a movie, he can tap into that feeling of taking away my ex-girlfriend's, you know, rice pilaf on a Tuesday night back in 09.
How was he as a busboy? Was he good?
Quick, silence, but present. And when things were empty, he took them away.
And when you needed something, he was there. He was there right away, huh?
Very understated. Some people might criticize his acting. My father's not a huge Goss fan because he thinks he's too understated. That's kind of like James Dean, just look at the ground, that Dylan McKay acting. But I think he's great.
I want more stories. This is fantastic. Ben Lyons with us here on Stupidity. Abby, I'm guessing your best picture would be, if you had a vote here, would be Bohemian Rhapsody. Is that fair?
I don't know. I think A Star Is Born. I love Bradley Cooper, so I think that I would probably vote for that before Bohemian Rhapsody.
Ben, those two movies, which one did you like better? Which one is more deserving?
I loved A Star Is Born. I thought Bohemian Rhapsody looked like a movie that should be on like VH1 on Sunday afternoon when you're hungover. It just was all of a sudden, wait a minute, they just wrote a number one record and 3 minutes later they're breaking up? Wait a minute, his father has shunned him his entire life and he's on the way to Live Aid, so he brings over a waiter he met once at a party and now his father doesn't hate the fact that he's gay? Problem solved. Like, it just very kind of tied everything up in a bow a little too neatly. But that said, Rami Malek, what a performance. That Live Aid sequence was the first day or first few days on set, and he just crushed it. And when actors win at the SAG Awards for playing real-life people, they go on to win at the Academy Awards more often than not. So I think he's going to win, but I couldn't care less for the movie.
Okay, so you gave Adnan, and I'd like you to give it to our audience as well, just a delightful Puff Daddy story. Can you share that with our audience?
Yeah, so this is, I don't know, around the King's Speech time, because I remember interviewing Puff, and he said to me, he said, Ben, what's going to win Best Picture? You're the movie guy. When I worked at the E! Channel, what's going to win Best Picture? I was like, well, I think it's going to be Colin Firth for the King's Speech. He's going to win Best Actor. He's playing King George, was overcoming a speech impediment to lead England into World War II. And he says, yo, that sounds hot. Can you get me a copy? And I was like, I don't think I can, but I'm sure someone can. And then he looks to his assistant and he goes, Capricorn, Ben's going to get me a copy of the King's Speech. I was like, okay, Puff Daddy. So a week goes by. I can't figure out how to get him a copy. All of a sudden, I'm at my desk one day at the E! Channel, and I hear in the office, where's Lion's Den? Where's Lion's Den with my King's Speech? He was at the E! Channel offices to shoot a segment with Joel McHale for The Soup and put two and two together that I worked there and was looking for his King's Speech. And I was like, Puff, I don't have it. I got an old Harry Potter at my desk. I got, I don't know, a 20th anniversary, a Rocky box set at the time. I don't got nothing here. Sure enough, a week goes by. I finally get the studio to give me a copy to give to Puff Daddy, which was a wild exchange for me and the publicist over a week or so. And then all of a sudden, 3 o'clock in the morning, not Capricorn, another assistant shows up in my house and I give her the King's Speech. And about a month later, I run into Puff on New Year's Eve and I'm like, dude, I finally got you the movie. What'd you think? Colin Firth, he's going to win Best Actor, right? He goes, oh, I left it on the boat in St. Bart's. I didn't watch it. I'm like, all right, man. Sorry, I hate when that happens. You know, like, what?
That is very Stugatzian of him, by the way. And so so how does that work? Do you still have a relationship with Puff?
I have no idea. He's one of those people I feel like I could run into him and he'd be like, hey, what's up, man? How are you? I love the podcast. Or he'd be like, hey, I'm Puff. Nice to meet you. Probably the latter, I would guess.
So, Ben, I'm just going to start blurting out names. And if you have a great story, feel free to share it with us. But let's start.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be great stories. That may be just a story.
Matt Damon.
Had a chance to go see a Jay-Z concert once with Matt and his wife, Lucy, who does some amazing work, charity work, and did a lot of stuff with them in Toronto. And Matt Damon always introduces himself. Hey, I'm Matt. Nice to meet you. When he meets people, like he met my sister and he was like, hi, I'm Matt. Nice to meet you. My sister was like, duh, I thought you were Will Hunting.
By the way, Abby, Lucy was our waitress at Nobu one time. You remember that?
Oh, I do.
Yes. That's where he met his wife.
That's Miami.
That is Miami. Yep. And I'll tell you this, Levitard used to work out in the same gym as Matt Damon. They became friends. I think Levitard went to his house to watch a Patriot game. Bruce Willis was calling in and they were talking about bets on the game. And me and Mike Ryan, till this day, just outraged at Levitard that he didn't parlay that into some sort of radio appearance on our show, because Damon's never come on. Dan will never ask a friend for a favor. And here's Matt Damon asking Dan for a favor. Hey, I love you. You're a great personality. Come watch the Patriot game with me. And Levitard doesn't ask Damon to come on the show with us. I mean, that's ridiculous. But here's what I'm thinking, Ben. Since you have all these friends and they're legit friends of yours, if it's okay with you, I'd like to have you on this podcast often because I'm enjoying this conversation, but I want you to come with some friends, armed with some friends who are bigger celebrities than you are. So I'm thinking next time we have you on, it's me, you, Abby, and Matt Damon. How about that?
With Matt Damon? Why would I have friends? I thought it was open-ended. Like, we were stuck on Damon?
Okay, whoever you want. Whoever you listen, whomever you think you can get on this podcast, I don't care who it is, okay? Get them on, all right? All right, Matthew McConaughey, story, go.
One time for the We Are Marshall junket, he did it entirely in character, dressed in the 1970s football coaching gear. And instead of doing a traditional interview where you both sit down on chairs looking at each other, we sat on a bench in a locker room and he paced as you ask him questions and he answer them as if you were a coach.
God, I love that. Daniel Day-Lewis, go.
One time interviewed him for the movie Nine and was given very specific instructions from the publicist saying you can ask him anything you want. Don't ask him about the time he quit acting to become a cobbler, and don't ask him about a stage performance he did of Hamlet or something in the 90s. It's like, okay, got it. Okay. I work at the E! Channel. They want to know about A-Rod and Kate Hudson.
Listen, I know you love movies. I know you love great actors, okay? And I know he's one of the all-time greats. But he takes himself a tad too serious, does he not?
I mean, I feel like Bale is the new Daniel Day-Lewis, and he can get the reputation of taking himself very seriously. While that's gone down a little bit, Bale is the new, like, every time out, it's an event just when they do a monologue guy, because Lewis is, I think, taking himself so seriously that he's just no longer really relevant consistently. Like, every 8 years, he decides to show everyone why he's the GOAT.
Final one, unless Abby has one. Abby, do you have anyone off the top of your head that maybe Ben has a story for?
Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, Jennifer Aniston. I remember interviewing her outside in Toronto for a little indie movie that, like, nobody cared about, and there was, like, 10,000 people out there. And her being very obviously overwhelmed. Not really a great story. I just remember that moment. Also, I remember interviewing her once for a movie that she did with Jason Bateman about, like, fertility, and asked her a question about re-teaming with Bateman, and she forgot that he was in the breakup. She totally had forgotten that he was in that movie with her.
All right, okay. Most overrated actor of all time, Meryl Streep. Got a good story there?
First time I interviewed her, I remember trying to charm her, ingratiate her. You only get 5 minutes or so, with this big intro of how decorated an actor she was, but really the reason why she's so celebrated is that she's the voice of Bart Simpson's girlfriend, and she was mildly amused.
I want to give you my four greatest action movies of all time, and you are in charge of determining who wins the Academy Award for my personal all-time action movies. I have four of them. Tango and Cash, one of the all-time greats, Point Break, Die Hard, and a movie that we mentioned earlier, Cobra. Those would be my all-time four top action movies. So, Ben, in a weird kind of Oscars where we're present, where just terrible, dreadful movies are being nominated for Academy Awards, and Ben Lyons is the person to determine who wins that award, of those four movies, which one is the best?
Odd you don't have a film from Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's probably the greatest action star ever. That said, the film's nominated this year for the Stugatz Greatest Action Movie of All Time. I'm going to go Point Break, because that film has a cultural ripple effect that still exists to this day. One, there was a spinoff 20 years later. Two, it launched a career of Keanu Reeves. Three, Busey's still an icon. Four, the name Johnny Utah still means something, and until Sam Darnold showed up, was probably the Jets' best option at quarterback. And five, there are plays around Los Angeles, like pop-up Point Break nights, and people do theater as Point Break. I love that movie. And anytime you go surfing, you get on the thing, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to rob a bank. So I think Point Break's the choice.
Now, I met my wife in Temple. She had no idea that we had met. I was hungover. I was out till 5 in the morning. She turned around and waved to my friend. I thought she was waving at me. I waved back. She told us last week on the podcast she had no idea I was even in the synagogue that day. But yours seems to be a lot more romantic. You met your wife here on the French Riviera?
A lot of connections between our stories, guys. We're both hungover. You were hungover from whatever you were doing in Temple. I was hungover from, you know, a night out at the Cannes Film Festival. Both are very elegant places, and both are like kind of a holy place, a holy place for cinephiles and a holy place for the Jewish people. So our stories are far more intertwined than you might think. I did meet my wife at the Cannes Film Festival in 2014. Our first date was to see a film that was directed by Tommy Lee Jones and starred Hilary Swank, a Western, where a baby was thrown out in the first 10 minutes of the movie. And we said, this doesn't count as our first date. So the next night, Foxcatcher premiere, red carpet. Oh, that was our official first date. And even that's kind of a creepy first date.
Right. Abby, he is living. First off, it seems like our dog Finney got very excited by that Ben Lyons story, Abby.
Yeah, he definitely did.
fan of rosé. It's like flows like water in the French Riviera. I get it.
Yes, and Abby, it also seems like Ben Lyons is living a lot more interesting life than I'm living. You know?
Yeah, I would say so.
That's not a shot at you, Abby. I'm just saying. I mean, French Riviera, he's hanging out with actors and actresses. I mean, you know, Ben Lyons is, I mean, who's better than Ben Lyons, Ab?
I'm surprised, you guys, being friend of 20 years, you know that all I aspire to is to have my Saturday mornings filled with heavy doubleheaders of wax.
That is, I should have known that as BFFs. You're right.
All I want to do is be on a wax sideline.
Right. Well, how's that? Why? Did you play lacrosse growing up at all or no?
No, I just think it rips. I just think it's sweet.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
it's like
great.
A culture that I was never accepted in. It was just like, you know, the backwards hat of the university that's kind of ripped up. Maybe like the ironic South Carolina Cox hat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Talking Dave Matthews, playing some wax, going up to Connecticut for a doubleheader. It sounds nice.
Some Grateful Dead, some Pearl Jam, some Dave Matthews. You got to have a little chewing tobacco. Listen, you're welcome in that world now, okay? I am the gateway to that world.
I don't have any friends named Taylor and Connor and stuff like that, you know?
No, you have Goss. I mean, that's
I got the Goss. I got the Goss and Matt Damon.
All right, check him out on Twitter, at I Am Ben Lyons on Twitter. Also, host of the Lyons Den podcast on Podcast One. Ben, we have to do this more often. This has been delightful for me, for Abby, hopefully for you. I know Stantic loved it, and we'll have to do it again because I got a lot more questions for you.
Appreciate you having me on. Abby, enjoy the red carpet. Make Stugatz watch the whole thing, all right? Have fun.
I will.
Sunday,
thank
guys.
You.
Make him put on talks.
What I won't watch is that Dud Roma. I could promise you that. Stupidity! All right, a lot of fun today. Very fun. Stanzik, I feel like this was Abby's best performance. What do you think?
Absolutely. Star of the podcast. Really showing her true colors.
Yeah, and listen, she's calling out. She wants Zappos.com. She wants blinds. I mean, I am telling you, she's going to get this thing. You and I aren't going to get it sold. She's going to get it sold. You know that?
Good. I mean, Academy Awards this weekend. A Star is Born's nominated. A Star is Born in this podcast, Abby.
Exactly right. You are good. Stanzik, you're good. You are good. So listen, everyone, we appreciate your support thus far. I need more of it. Okay. So what I want you to do, and thanks to Ben Lyons, he was fantastic. Abby, great. Ask Abby. Love that. Can't do enough of that. We'll do more of it. I am hoping next week to bring my cousin onto the podcast and, hopefully a very special guest as well, as I'm going to start bringing in a lot of people from my family, a lot of friends and family into the podcast, because that's what, stupidity is all about. So anyway, this is what I need you to do. Okay. Listen, I love being number one sports and rec. I need more. Okay. I do. I need more. And Abby needed a new pair of shoes. So listen, I need you to download. I need you to rate. I need you to subscribe. I need you to review all that good stuff. So subscribe to the podcast, rate it, review it. And then here's what I want you to do after you do that. I want you to unsubscribe to the podcast and then resubscribe to the podcast and then rate it again and then review it again. And then don't stop doing it. All of you, everyone in the sound of my voice, you must do this. And we're checking. Stanzik has a way of checking. If you don't do it a minimum of 5 times this week, you will no longer have access to the podcast. Stanzik, am I lying?
You're always lying.
The Lying Den. L-Y-I-N-G. Stanzik, should we change the name from Stupidity to the Lying Den?
Got a nice ring to it.
And I'm the ringleader.